I love this picture. You notice that I've moved the timeline now from being straight across the page. By this time, I realized we were going to have a lot of pages that had a lot of space on them if I kept the timeline going this way. So I turned it to the side of the page so I had more room. So we're going to, our timeline, as we go through this, we're walking through time down the page, okay? Here, the church age is going to transition into the tribulation age when the Lord snatches the church away as his bride. That picture, I bought that picture, and I bought the permission to be able to use that picture and several more of Pat's pictures. He is an incredible, incredible artist. Do you see how Jesus is coming in the clouds to reach down to snatch his bride away, and the people here on earth are becoming part of that bride that goes back up? Remember, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior today, you are engaged to the Lord Jesus to be at the wedding ceremony as part of his bride with him in during the time while tribulation is going on earth. Up in heaven, we're with Jesus as his bride, being united with him. So I want to look on. It is a marriage ceremony of where we're headed to. I've said this. It was part of the Lord's eternal plan to take a bride that would consist of all the people who entered into a personal relationship with him after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. He called those people the church, and together they make up the body of his bride. Someday, in the future, the Lord will return to the visible clouds with those who have gone on before him to receive those who are here on earth. And that was all that explanation about that happening in the scriptures was in the first part of this lesson over in 1 Thessalonians. You can go back and look at that. Together, all the believers become his bride and return to heaven for the marriage ceremony. Paul and John record the prophecy of this event when they say this. 1 Thessalonians 4, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but for sanctification. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Dead in Christ. That means don't worry about the bodies that are in grave asleep. Their souls are already with the Lord in the air, and he's going to bring them with him when he comes. And lo and behold, their bodies are going to rise out of the ground or meet their souls in the air. Then it says after that, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we shall always be with the Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John goes on to say it like this in Revelation 19. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." How wonderful. So it's time to enter into with Christ, with the bride of Christ up in heaven with the Lord. Here on earth, it's time to enter into that tribulation period. Before we get into that, I want to do a quick overview again of what's going to happen. I've kind of got it in two places. I've got it here, and I've got it up on the screen in the notes also. What happens is during the church age, the 10 toes come together and form the revived Roman Empire. The apostasy has already happened. And then the church is snatched away into heaven to be with the Lord, and a peace treaty is made by this revived Roman Empire leader. He makes the peace treaty. This all happens virtually at the same time, and we enter into 7 years of tribulation for Israel on earth. And because it's for Israel, it also affects most of the nations on earth. The first 3.5 years are called simply the tribulation. It's 3.5 years. It's 160 days. It's 42 months. Wherever you see it in the scripture, it says it one way or those ways, and it's always the same. The second half of the 7 years is called the Great Tribulation. 3.5 years, 160 days, 42 months, it's all the same thing. It just so happens that while we are in heaven with Jesus, another event takes place, which I have on your notes here and up on the screen. It's not only the marriage to the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, but it's also the judgment seat of Christ. A judgment seat of Christ was never a time of judging you for damnation or sending you to prison. The judgment seats were always the place where at the end of the race, at the end of the gladiator event, at the end of the athletic event, it was the little stand that you stood on to receive your reward for what you did in that event. It is never to say, you are doomed and you're going over to hell. It is always, you have won and here is your reward. That's what the judgment seat always was. It's called the Bema. It's where you went up and stood on the beam and you received a crown for what you did. Every one of you in here who know the Lord is your Savior, you're going to receive the crown of life. Some of you are going to receive the soul winner's crown. And there's three other crowns that are going to be offered, plus multiple jewels, wonderful gifts. And the Lord is going to come, and part of the marriage ceremony for 7 years is to give you gifts that occurs in heaven while here on earth Israel is going to go through such tribulation that she has no choice but to turn to the one who can deliver her from her struggles. And that is the Lord. So we see all that happening. Well, here's the detail, little detail coming up. The detail is, I've already marked it on the board for you here. It's a peace treaty. It's a firm covenant. That revived Roman Empire leader is going to make a covenant with Israel. Daniel chapter 9 tells us about this peace treaty between the supreme leader, the president of the Western Roman Empire, whatever you want to call it, and the nation of Israel, when it says this. This is a dream, a prophecy that came to Daniel himself, not to anyone else, but to Daniel. And Daniel tells us about it. He says, "And the people of the prince who is to come," the prince who's to come, the prince who's going to come out of this revived Roman Empire where Daniel's telling us about these 10 toes coming together and all that. "The people of this prince, the supreme president, will destroy the city and the sanctuaries. Its end will come with the flood. Even to the end, there'll be war. Desolations are determined." And then the Lord says to Daniel, talking about how this is going to happen, "And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week." 1 week is 7 years in the Hebrew scripture, what that means. "But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to the sacrifices and grain offerings. And on the wings of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until the complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." Well, what does all that mean? It means that in the future, sometime in the future, this person, this supreme Roman, revived Roman Empire prince, that everybody's going to think about him being a prince, is going to come and he's going to make this deal with Israel for 7 years. But in the middle of that 7 years, he's going to break the treaty. And he is going to set himself up to be God above all other gods. Well, for centuries, Israel has prayed for peace, but she will continue to be hated by all nations. Whether we like it or not, the United States of America and all its people pretty much love Israel, but our leadership hates Israel. And so goes the leadership, so is the thought of the other nations about our country. So it is. Why Israel decides, after all the nations hate her, that she's going to make this covenant treaty with this supreme leader prince of the revived Roman Empire, we do not know. But she's going to do it, and it's going to be a mystery to all of us. She's actually going to take all of her weapons of war and she's going to beat them into farm equipment. And she is going to be able to, she's going to begin to plant her entire landmass with crops to feed herself, thinking that she's at peace. However, this whole thing is a fulfillment of the Lord's prophecy. Now bring up the rider on the white horse. You've all heard about that, and we're going down in time. We haven't moved in time anywhere with this in reality, because in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, John says this. He says, I saw when the Lamb broke. Now, that's the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, in heaven, heaven and the Lord Himself is decreeing everything to happen during the tribulation time by the opening of a seal. In next week's lesson, we're going to get through to seal three. Seal three ends the first 3.5 years. Seal four will open up the second 3.5 years, called the Great Tribulation. As the Lord opens in heaven, the Lord is always in control of everything. Just like He's in control of your life and your destination, even though you mess it up. And He'll allow you to mess it up. He's in control of what's going to happen with all of us. He's going to control and open the seals of the... And He is the only one worthy to open a seal. He is going to open this seal, and John sees it. And he says, I heard one of the four living creatures. Those are the creature that has a lion's head. One has a eagle's head. One has a cow's head, oxen head. And one has a human head. One of them says, come. And he says, I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it had a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out to conquer and to conquering and to conquer. My question is what in the world is he going to do with just a bow? This supreme leader of the revived Roman Empire is the rider on the white horse. Did you catch that? The supreme leader, the one the false minister says, elect him, elect him, elect him. He is the rider on the white horse. He has come up through the ranks. He has killed three presidents on his rise to be elected as the supreme leader. But he's now, after he's in position, he's going to go out and he's going to try to make some deals with all the countries. So upon his election, he is not satisfied with his empire of just 10 countries with 7 vice presidents. He immediately will begin to go out and make deals. And one of those deals he strikes is with Israel. I want you to notice that he has the authority to make these deals because he's been given a crown. The crown says he has the authority to make the deals for the country of the revived Roman Empire. What's interesting is he also has the power because he's got a bow in his hand. You can come nicely, or I can get some arrows. But at this point in what he is doing at the beginning of the 7 years, he wants it to look like it's peaceful. He's the white horse rider who shows up to make deals with everybody and look like he's the wonderful savior of the world, the white horse rider. You've heard that all your life, and that's where it comes from. He is not going to have any ammunition to make people make a peace treaty with him, but he's got the authority behind him. He's got the threat of it, but they don't know how much of a threat it is. And lo and behold, for some reason, Israel makes this peace treaty. The reason is because it's prophesied. False peace is in the world for Israel. False peace. They sign this treaty, and there's false peace. Now, there are several indicators that mark the beginning of this tribulation, just so we remember them. Number one, the church is no longer a direct presence on earth. There are church buildings, and the Sunday after a whole bunch of religious Christians disappear and no one can find them, I guarantee you, the churches will probably be full on earth, but the church buildings will be full. But there is no church present on earth. Then you're going to really know, and I hope none of you get to really know because I hope you're gone. But those who are, how do I say it here? Those who are supposed Christians that are just supposedly acting like Christians because they think it's the right thing to do, they won't be snatched away. Only the true Christians will. Now, with that influence gone, with the church gone, believe me, the Bible is still here. The Bible is still here as the witness, one witness to all those Christians who missed it. And there will be probably a great, great salvation day and baptismal day after the church body of Christ has been snatched away. The sad part about this is not in your notes, but you're going to learn it as we go through. Everybody who gets saved after the church is snatched away will be killed by the great apostasy religion by probably beheading, and their souls will not go to the marriage of the bride and the lamb. They will go and live underneath the altar of the Lord, the altar where he is. They'll be under the altar, but they will not be part of the bride. But yet that is still going to happen. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is going to then be taken away to protect that protects the church. It will no longer be here. That's a promise to us also. But nevertheless, people will be saved during that time. Number two, temporarily the world will be at peace with Israel. And as we will see in Scripture that are going to come up in the next lesson, it will be a false peace. Because the supreme leader of the revived Roman Empire will not protect Israel in the long run. Nevertheless, Israel will cover the nation with crops to feed her people. And all the nations of the world will have their eyes on Israel with an intent to take and remove her property. Israel will be planting, but Israel will still be a very wealthy nation at this point in time. Number three, two witnesses have just arrived. As the peace treaty is being signed, two witnesses have arrived from the Lord. Both Israel and the world reject these two witnesses because they're teaching the truth. They hate the witnesses. They have great hatred towards them. In fact, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 through 18, it says this: "And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth." You know, they could get a Joseph A. Banks suit or something like that instead of basically burlap. Have you ever worn burlap? Anybody ever worn burlap? Make some underwear out of burlap, okay? "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth." That was in the beginning, chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. "And if anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone would desire to harm them, in this manner he must be killed." Go try to harm one of these two witnesses during their 1260 days and watch the fire come out and devour you. "These have the power to shut up the skies in order that rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire." Now, aren't you glad the next page is blank? Because you're on overload, aren't you? Oh, my soul, you're on overload. That's way too much. But now you got a little bit in order. The next lessons are actually ready, but we're going to get that next week. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study about the prophecies that you have put in place and to live in a time where we can see a few of those things coming to pass. Thank you for being our Lord. In your name, amen and amen.